All right, everybody, the time is 1:32 P.M., April 19th, 2022. I'd like to call to order the Gatan Technical Subcommittee meeting. Sarah, could you lead us through the roll call?
I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatan, and I'll call the roll. Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Frank Ammons, Gatan.
Present.
Beau Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos de Matos, Gatan.
Present.
Gary Weissman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Justin Slocum, Austin ISD.
Present.
Mace Royston, LCRA.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin. Steve Pyle, State of Texas DIR.
Present.
And contractors we have joining us are Chris Gonzalez with Bricom.
Present.
And Doug Wilson with JC Communications.
Present.
We've established a quorum.
One moment, Sarah.
They need to mute their mic.
Is there any communications going on, or am I not hearing anyone?
Jaime, are you still there?
I am. I have LCRA's tech support in here with me, trying to get the projector working.
Are we able to continue the meeting while they're working on that?
Do we have any citizens' communication?
No, sir.
All right, hearing none, if you could take a few minutes to review the meeting minutes from the last meeting of March 22nd.
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
This is Dane, second.
Jaime, you're muted. The Polycom is showing that you're muted.
Give Jaime a few minutes here to figure out what's taking place there.
I think it's the conference phone that's muted.
He's asking us to unmute him, but I don't.
Yeah.
I don't have
that.
You may
have to call back in.
I mean, you're going to have to call back in, it looks like.
Sarah, are you the controller of the, are you the creator of the meeting?
Yeah, but it doesn't allow me to unmute him.
Oh,
okay. He's muted himself.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. Okay. Let me mute the speakers on my computer. Hold on.
That's what it is. Okay. Okay, so we had a motion and a second, Jaime, for the minutes.
Okay, better audio now. The motion and second for the minutes. Hearing none. Sarah, please lead us through the roll to approve the minutes.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Justin Slocum.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
He doesn't even want me to worry about it.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
All right. Agenda item number 4 is our maintenance contractors report. Chris, what do you have for us today?
Since our last meeting, we've completed inspections of A1N and A2N with 12 corrected deficiencies between the two rings. There's nothing out of the ordinary report. Please let me know if you have any questions. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to move on to the inventory report. The only changes on the inventory, we used 335 feet of ASD's rear R number 2 for the input repair at Galindo Elementary. They were the only changes to the inventory. Let me know if you have any questions regarding that.
Right. Doesn't sound like there's any questions for Chris on the inventory report, so let's move on to 5A, Network Manager's Project Status Report.
Yeah, so this is Frank, and we have a Gatton Developer funded project that we've added in. You'll see there in your handout for the Project Status Report, and it is the relocation basically of doing some transfers. You'll see that listed there. As far as Gatton active projects go, I'm going to give you some updates as promised and regarding A1N. So we have been working closely with Austin Energy in regards to the holdups on these projects. And I've been looking for specific answers from them in regards. And so what I'm going to go through with you is an initial response from AE regarding questions whether or not Gatton has any pending items that we need to take care of on our end, or is it just being something going on inside of Austin Energy internally? And so when I tell you AE initial response, that's the initial response they gave us. And when they gave us the initial response into whether or not Gatton had anything left to do on the project to kind of expedite the project further, I followed up. Once they responded, I followed up with a timeline query. I wanted to know what the timeline would be. So I'll just go through these projects with you here. For A1N segment one, AE's initial response is that there are no pending items for Gatton and the project is assigned to a crew with Austin Energy's Illumination Group. When I followed up with the timeline question, the response is Illumination could not provide an estimated completion date at this time due to current workload, but that they would continue to follow up and seek a target date for completion. This application was submitted on March 5th, 2020. The next one is upgrade of segment two, A1N segment two. When asked if there was any pending items from Gatton, initial response is there are no pending items for Gatton. This project has a work date of 3/28/2022. When I questioned about the timeline, they updated me and said the project is currently assigned to an AE contract crew with a completion date of 4/23/22. So as you know, here this week, AE should be complete with that one. I'm going to follow up on Friday with them in regards to this one and some other ones that I'm going to call off here to see if we can move forward and if they completed what they needed to do on that one. For A1N segment four, the initial response is there are no pending items for Gatton. Austin Energy is coordinating with Austin Transportation Department to correct the school zone energized conductor issue. This is something we've been aware of for a while. The AE timeline response is this project is assigned to Austin Energy civil contract crew, and they are coordinating with the Austin Transportation Department on right-of-way permits. A completion date cannot be set until the permits are secured. So I'm continuing to push for that one. That's A1 in segment four. The application was originally submitted on February 25th, 2020. And just to back up on segment two and make sure I covered this, that application was submitted on the same date, February 25th, 2020. For segment seven of A1N, the question was asked in regards to whether or not anything was pending from Austin Energy, from Gatton. Initial response from that is from Austin Energy, there are no pending items for Gatton. Austin Energy is working on providing the civil work needed and will coordinate with Austin Transportation Department to transfer their services. Timeline response is AE completed the service transfer and is working on a street light flex that needs to be fixed. So I'll be following up Friday as well on that one. This one was originally submitted on September 8th, 2020. Segment 8, A1N. Initial response is there are no pending items from Gatton. Austin Energy Silver Group is awaiting right-of-way permit to start the work, and update request has been sent. So this one as well has been assigned to an Austin Energy civil contract crew, and they're coordinating with Austin Transportation Department on right-of-way permits. A completion date cannot be set until permits are secured. Another follow-up for them for this Friday. This one was submitted on September 30th, 2020. On segment nine, good news on this one. There's no pending items, and we got this one fully approved by Austin Energy on March 8th, 2022. The application was submitted on October 28th, 2020. So we're at work on that one. They went in segment 11. There's quite a bit going on with this one. AE's initial response is that we would need to submit a new application. So what's taking place with this one is the AE, due to a large project, AE has, since we've submitted application, which was submitted on October 28th, 2020, AE has a large project in the works right now where they are relocating the entire pole line, or the pole line, a large portion of the pole line that we're attaching to. So they said we'll need to submit a new application. There shouldn't be a need to put a hold on the new application, but it would depend on when the application is submitted and if there's any other work being done on the poles that Gatton's applying for. That means if anybody else is also applying for the same thing, you know, any other if there's CLEX out there performing work on the poles, which there surely will be. This one's going to take a lot longer to complete from what I'm hearing from Austin Energy, but I'll also try and get some more information in regards to that when I send my email out to them Friday. I've also got a meeting set up with the Gatton board chair and my supervisor, Ruben Reyes, coming up in early May to discuss Austin Energy concerns that Gatton has as a whole, and prior to going to City of Austin executive management. Are there any questions on the active projects? Okay, here none. The entity-specific projects we have are the TxDOT node insertion involving DIR. We have a test completion date scheduled for 4/25 on that one. And then entity-specific future projects, we've added, you'll note we've added C2 South / B1N because it's going to involve both those rings. Mansfield Dam Research Center, and that's for UT. Any questions in regards to projects and their status?
Frank, regarding UT's C1 North to the Pickle campus, have you had a chance to reach out to Cap Metro on the license agreement?
No, I have not. I looked back at that timeline. I wanted to give her to Representative Jeannie. I wanted to give her to the end of this week. I have it on my calendar to do so on Friday.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Right. Okay. No more questions for Frank. Let's move on to 5B, the Gatton Network status report.
Okay, so you'll see in your handouts there is a network status report here. We did add a new one to it. That you'll note that was on March 14th. This is if some of you will recall, we had a vehicle hit a pole on the south side of FM 620, causing the aerial crossing to be torn down. Since, at the time the maintenance contractor was dispatched and they completed a temporary repair, and a claim has been filed with a responsible party with their insurance company. So there'll be more to come from this one in future meetings. You'll hear the progress reports and status reports in regards to that. As far as the network status report as a whole, nothing else has changed since our previous meeting. Any questions on that one? Okay, hearing none, Sarah, would you move into the job budget report, please?
Yes. For this month, we're tracking 42 jobs totaling $1.7 million. So far, we've been invoiced for about $603,000 and have about $1.1 million that's encumbered. And as I've stated in the last couple of meetings, we are actively working on the refund from the City of Austin for the NOC, and that's going to total $376,000. That should be paid out by the end of this month. Please let me know if you have any questions.
Okay, if there's no questions on the budget report, then we can move to agenda item six. I believe we should discuss 6A and then 6F right now, and then we'll go into executive session for B, C, D, and E, which have print. So agenda item 6A is essentially UT's looking for approval to purchase six more strands on B1 North. Carlos, do you want to kind of give an overview, how many strands are left after we purchase this, et cetera?
Yes, sir. There will be on this cable, which is 140 strands, there will be 12 strands left on the tube to be purchased. Although every ring right now, every time we do a repair, will be replaced with 192 strands. Please note the bottom here. UT on the 192 counts to the violet tube, so that they have one full tube rather than having two split ones in this manner.
So is
there any questions on this?
Okay. All right, hearing no questions, I'd like to make a motion that the tech committee approve the purchase of, for UT to purchase six strands on B1 North at a cost of $29,506.52. That cost will be to UT and not Gatton.
This is Dane, second.
All right, we have a motion by Jaime and a second by Dane. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Sarah, please list to a vote.
Gary Weissman.
Aye.
Justin Slocum.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes. Ruben, I don't think we caught that.
Sorry. Aye. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
The motion passes.
Thanks, everyone. We'll skip the prints for now and go to agenda item 6F, proposed changes to our teardown, damage, and repair policy.
Yeah, so this is Frank. And with this one, we sent out to the members a this revised draft, which you see in front of you today as the handout being shown as 6F, and we sent out the previous policy on teardown, damage, and repair. And what the network management team is doing right now, and we do periodically, but we're really focused right now on our set of policies, and we're meeting separately and scheduled meetings to go through each policies to bring them up to date as needed. This one is one that was needed to be brought up to date. So when you review this and when you take a look at what you're reviewing, please keep in mind one of the purposes of this is that when we work with our claims or damages that have occurred to our network, we are specifically trying to call out our policies so that it can be referred to in the future. So we have those as a point of reference, and it also illustrates a record of our standards. So if you would please take your time to read this revised draft. If you need to access the previous version, you may do so via your email, which we sent out previously.
Frank, both versions are actually on the handout.
I was just getting ready to say, yep. Yeah. I scrolled down a little bit further, and the original draft is the second portion.
Yeah,
which I'm showing to start out as a. I think you're doing, Sarah. I didn't see that earlier. Yeah, so both of them are there. If you just take some time, you'll note the differences And please let us know if you have any thoughts. We'd like to move forward with this revised draft as is. But we're open to any suggestions.
Hey, Frank, this is Ruben. Can you highlight some of the major or the main changes from the current to the proposed?
Yeah, sure. So we're clearly defining what temporary repair work is versus permanent repair work. We hit that right off the bat in the definition portion. So obviously we made some changes to that, and we're calling it out separately instead of combining the two. So when we're referencing this, we've got a temporary repair policy and then a permanent repair policy that's being called out. And then, of course, we cover the notification portion of it. That's some of the main changes. We used to not use a Gatton alerts, and it used to be that the maintenance contractor was the one who notified the members. For quite some time now, it's been network management who does that. So we wanted to clarify that here in this policy. And then we covered, let's see, that's pretty much it. That's the main highlights right there.
But the language itself remains the same as just separating those lines of responsibilities.
Yeah, and we called out 192 count fiber because that's our standard.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Frank, I'm not seeing anywhere in here where we're referencing that we go from, you know, from, what am I trying to say?
You look at that 10,000 foot rule?
Well, it's not really 10,000 foot, but it's, you know, splice case to splice case, not real
Gary,
splice cases to not nodes.
I was thinking the same thing, like maybe an overview statement that says Gatton Gatton standard is real to real splice cases and minimizing the number of splices in the environment, like maybe a statement above definitions that says the overview that kind of sets the tone, because like what Gary is alluding to is that what we're trying to do is strengthen this in, you know, for future claims, right, Gary?
Correct.
Yeah. So yes. we talked about that quite a bit. And so if you look underneath the permanent repair policy where it says A and B, and I'm not, you know, taking away from anything that you're saying, especially the overview statement, but we have so many different size segments that I thought that maybe it would be best just to cover in general, you know, saying that the 7 Gatton Indies provide governmental educational services for public. Additionally, some Gatton Indies provide critical public safety functions. Due to the critical public safety and governmental services provided by Gatton Indies, Gatton must maintain the highest network integrity. Now, that's just a blanket statement there, you know, explaining who we are, what we do, and why we do it. Here's the one that really gets in the meat potatoes, I think, of what you gentlemen are alluding to. And what we decided to go with is, while a temporary repair is performed to restore services as quickly as possible, in almost all circumstances, Gatton will perform a permanent repair to restore the network to the state it was prior to damage and eliminate any splice cases added during the temporary repair. So that I mean, I think that's got us covered as far as you know, if a temporary repair is made, which is, you know, 9 times out of 10, we're making a temporary repair if something's damaged, unless it's a small, real small, where we can do a permanent repair. then that limit that that says to them, we are going to eliminate any splice cases we that were was caused to be added to the network during a temporary repair. That makes sense. And if so, do you think we still, you know, what would be your suggestion as far as, you know, anything else when we say reel to reel? There's no specific footages that I can come up with or think of to cover that. Sarah, I'm sorry. Were you going to say something, or did I cover it?
You covered it, Frank.
Yep.
So I think what you have in the document covers it, but I'm wondering if in the definitions we need to be more general between the difference between temporary and permanent repair. Because the way it reads right now for the definitions between temporary and permanent repair is that one is scheduled and one is not.
Yeah, it's almost like something needs to be said to restore it like it was before the incident.
Right.
In the definition itself.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, your temporary work is defined as performed under emergency conditions. Restore service as quickly as possible. Find work performed under normal conditions. Replace or we work our temporary replacement. Okay. Yeah. Maybe there on B, on definitions on permanent repair, where we say after damage has occurred, we're applicable to return right. network to return getting infrastructure to the state of function prior to damage occurring, something like that. State of functionality prior to, or state of same service level prior to damage occurring, something like that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think just retooling the definition to where it spells it out a little bit better.
Right. And I think if we put something in there, you know, that speaks to the fact that, you know, we're trying to minimize the loss on the network. You know, several of our entities have dispersed nodes, and it's critical to maintaining the integrity that we return it to that, you know, something like that. Just so that we have backup as to we're not just doing it because there's a reason behind our wanting to return the network to its, you know, original integrity.
Yeah, maybe a definition for network integrity and what we consider that to be and why. Okay, maybe that sounds good.
Having the same number of slices or less than it was before the incident occurred.
Right. And can I make just one small suggestion? When we have changes like this, if we can do a red line version instead of an original and a proposed, so that it's easier to see where the changes are.
Yeah, I think Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, with this one it was so large that it just looked like spaghetti.
Yeah, like I said in the email, there was just too much reformatting and rewording that we reworked it completely. So it would have been real difficult to do the red line version.
Yeah, typically we bring the red line in, you know, you can see our, you know, the few changes we made. We pretty much, if you look at the previous one, we almost rewrote this one.
Okay.
So we've got that noted. If there's anything else, just let us know. And what we'll do is we're going to bring this back to the next tech meeting, updated with the suggestions. And we'll get those out prior to all you members, so that, you know, you can feel free. Just please do it individually, but feel free to email us back. You know, any small or large recommendations that you have, whatever they may be, and we'll go from there with it. Should be good to go by the next tech meeting. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Good deal. Thank you.
All right. So let's go back to our agenda item starting at to address 6B, 6C, 6D, and 6E in executive session. So the time now is 2:09 p.m. and I'd like to adjourn to executive session under Texas Government Code 551.089 and 418.181. See you at the other call. It is 2:30 p.m. and we are back in open session. Sarah, if we could please update the roll.
Yes. I'm Sarah Eichelberger with Gatton. Frank Ammons, Gatton.
Present.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Anthony Breckenridge, City of Austin.
Present.
Chris Phillips, LCRA.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Carlos DeMatos, Gatton.
Present.
Gary Wiesman, Austin Community College.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
Justin Slocum, Austin ISD.
Present.
Mace Royston, LCRA.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
Everybody's accounted for.
Thank you. Moving back to agenda item 6B, I'd like to motion that committee recommend for board approval new UT site, Mansfield Dam, that'll be on T2 South and B1 North, and no cost to Gatton.
Steve, I second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Sarah, please lead us through a vote.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Justin Slocum.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes. Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Sorry, Sarah. I'm having some difficulties here with my mic.
The motion passes.
Right. Thank you. Agenda item 6C, I'd like to motion that we recommend for board approval a B1 South overhead pole relocation at South Lamar, Barton Skyway, TxDOT required Gatton-funded project at a cost estimate of $17,000 to be funded from the fiscal year 22 MAC budget.
Steve, I second.
All right, we have a motion by me, Jaime, and a second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Sarah, please lead us to the vote.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Justin Slocum.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Thank you. And our last vote today is I'd like to motion a recommendation for approval of the B1 North overhead relocation span adjustments at 12,000 FM 959 TxDOT required Gatton funded project at a cost estimate of $6,000 to be funded from the fiscal year 22 MAC budget.
Steve, I second.
All right, motion by Jaime, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Sarah, please lead us through a vote.
Gary Wiesman.
Aye.
Justin Slocum.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
Mace Royston.
Aye.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The motion passes.
Thank you, everyone. So agenda item, just discuss this future project in executive session. Network management will keep us updated as it develops. We've already discussed 6F. We've already done agenda item 7. We've already done agenda item 8. So agenda item 9 is confirmed date, time, and location for the next technical subcommittee meeting is May 17, 2022, 1:30 p.m. here at the LCR Service Center or via Microsoft Teams conference. The time now is 2:34 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned. Thanks for your